Hey, I'm Laura.
And I'm Kit.
And we work together in the food business.
And we thought, hey, let's start a podcast.
Yeah, to highlight everything fresh, local, and honest.
Yeah, food and business is how we get to experience community together.
So join us for this adventure. Fresh, Local, Honest, the podcast. Hey, we're here with Des from Take Three. So happy to have you here on the Fresh Local Honest podcast. And so, yeah, like Kate, you wrote down a few highlights of her career. I mean,
a little rundown on Des from what we know.
You're still young, but you've done a lot of things here so far.
I'm trying to narrow down the paragraph of all the things she's been involved in and doing. So here's my best shot at kind of who Des is. So she is a young, successful, forward-thinking business guru who is the owner of Take Three Burgers. She sings at Fulton 55, does national known pop-up events, and teaches students at a local charter school. Des is a Fresno famous phenom.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, girl. Who wrote that? I love it.
We'll email that to you.
Did we get all the highlights at least?
I mean, that's pretty good.
Did we miss anything?
No. Mother of two?
Mother of two. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Probably a boy, girl.
A boy and a girl.
Oh, you got the
very
combo.
Very blessed in that way. Yeah.
Yep. I love it.
I had my boy first and then my girl.
Yeah. Oh,
two little tiny business owners coming up behind me.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, teaching them really right. Cool. Are you teaching them to cook? Are you teaching them all the things?
You know
business?
What? They have other ideas, but they come to me all the time with what they're going to do. Jones will tell me about, I'm planning this party. And so I think the event planning side is rubbing off more than the food side.
That's okay.
They also are very intrigued by the bar business. Like, they really understand, you know, the stuff that I do on the side with my bar business as well, which is cool. Oh, yeah, that wasn't in there.
And what is it? D's Craft
Pop. D's Craft Experiences.
Okay, I love that.
It's just kind of all the stuff I do for parties. And what I was mostly getting into was a lot of the, like, themed alcohol along with the themed food, because we kind of have that outlet through the restaurant to do, you know, the food stuff, and I wanted to be able to do the libations as well. I've always been the bartender for all the parties and stuff, so it's just kind of another added layer.
So you mainly do
fun.
That just for parties, or do you go pop up at locations?
We do pop-ups as well. We do a lot of, like, grand openings, a lot of downtown events, because I'm very downtown involved, so we do stuff at the partnership. We do a lot of art hop stuff. Stuff at the restaurant too. So
so much fun.
I'm gonna be looking for you.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I'm so ready.
I know.
We usually have a theme. So if it's a private party, you're the theme. So, like,
I love that.
First birthday party last weekend, which was, like, scary, kind of, you know, because we're barely coming out of this, but it was only 8 ladies, and it was themed to the birthday girl for her 40th birthday.
Love that. Yeah. So much fun.
Is your birthday coming up?
Dude, I had my 40th last year, but I mean, 40 plus one needs to happen, right?
41 minus one, we'll just call 40 again.
Yeah.
I'm so down for your 40.
Yeah, I love it. Let's book it now. Let's talk after this, Des. Yeah. This is happening.
That's awesome.
Well, great. Well, there's, like, a lot of things going on right now, I feel like, even, like, globally and even in our community. And so we wanted to kind of take a dive into, like, I know there's stuff, like, especially with, like, obviously you are an African-American woman and you're a business owner, and you're obviously more than that, but can you share kind of your perspective on, like, what's going on, like, in, like, this crazy, it's crazy no matter what, because we're in this COVID season, but now we're coming out of this where we saw some videos, and, you know, I think the videos are just bringing it to light.
Right.
Like, these are things that have kind of always been under the surface, and maybe there's been a way for, you know, at least, like, and I'm white, so there's obviously ways that people have skirted around these things and maybe made excuses before, whatever, but now it's, like, right in front of us. And so, like, how has your family, like, dealt with this? And even, like, as a restaurant and a business owner, so obviously we're a food, you know, podcast. And so, we'd love to hear your perspective and what you think.
I mean, I always tell people that the restaurant business is hard in general.
You know, right? Just, yeah. I mean, our margins are like baby margins. And like,
it's really hard to make a good quality product and make a profit.
Yes.
And so that's just a daily struggle with the fluctuations of food costs and things like that anyway, and staff and all of those.
Yes.
So then you add a pandemic.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, I definitely think, I mean, you know, the part of it where we are a Black-owned business and then these things that are currently happening, it's just such a very interesting thing to take on. Because as a business owner, depending on your community, it's not necessarily profitable for you to be loud and proud about being a Black-owned business. And so, you know, I started to write a post earlier just kind of thanking everybody for their support during this time. And, you know, writing and deleting and writing and deleting. One of the things I wrote and deleted was, you know, we've strongly identified as a family business, a community business, a downtown business.
Yeah.
But we have not really spoken up about being a Black-owned business. And then I started to kind of dissect, why is that?
Yeah.
Why have I not felt comfortable promoting being a Black-owned business? You know, my dad is a boomer and I'm a millennial. And for his generation, absolutely not. We don't, like, you know, they don't need to know that we're Black owned, because that could potentially be a stain on our business. So just like kind of thinking about that is tough.
Right.
It's tough to think that potentially people who love to be entertained by us, fed by us, you know, and say that they love us, maybe, you know, somewhere in there, there's some people who don't. And that's just hard to, you know, I don't think Black people walk around openly carrying that burden a lot. And I think that's how we've been able to skirt around issues.
Because
I don't think we've had these conversations
before. Well,
and these
things are like, maybe we're not as, we as a community weren't as open to those conversations. But I think more people, I mean, I would think are listening or trying to listen in their own ways.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And to interact with like these social issues that obviously have been, you know, plaguing our society for generations, really. And so, so yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense what you're saying, though. Like,
well, and I've ran businesses before. I mean, it kind of breaks my heart a little bit that you can't just come out and say that because you're worried about losing sales. Like, I've ran businesses.
Yeah.
I'm worried about everything losing sales. The bad Yelp review.
Right, you know,
are your employees doing things right at night? Are is your product good? And then have to worry about.
I can only describe it as just kind of a silent burden that you're always bearing.
Right.
And I think we, are, as a community, are really good at just carrying it. It's kind of something that comes with the color of your skin. It just comes with the package. And so I've been very raw, actually, these last, like, weeks. And just mostly because of the support, though, the ability to talk about it openly with friends and allies and say, yeah, I do feel this way. And I wish I had said something sooner. Maybe if I said something sooner, you know what I mean? I could at least affect change in my direct circle. So I'm also taking accountability for how we've all gotten here and why we're seeing these images and things that we're seeing now. And yeah, it's a lot.
No, it is. It is. It feels, I mean, it definitely feels like burdens but we need to start having these honest conversations and start to get vulnerable of like, and I mean, like, I love the diversity of Fresno and like, and the diversity of food options and the diversity of opinions and how we kind of all come together. And I think we've really kind of, I mean, there's been like little bloops on the radar or whatever, but I feel like overall our community has come together in a unique way that I think is something that, you know, obviously there's work to do, obviously.
Yeah.
And I hope that you guys hear my heart in that. And I hope you would hear my heart in that, Des. But like, but yeah, I think overall, like, I've been really, really happy to call myself a Fresno.
Yes,
you know?
It's been great.
Yeah.
The demonstrations have been great. The law enforcement community has been great.
Right.
I am so proud of Fresno right now.
Right.
Participating on Sunday in the march, and it was so peaceful. Law enforcement was so nice and friendly. And you know what I mean? There's a certain energy. I've obviously demonstrated before in the past on behalf of the Black community. And it's not always good vibes.
Right.
You know, if somebody's standing in riot gear with an automatic weapon, that doesn't say, hey, we see you and we understand what you're trying to, you know, get across. Yeah. Right. So just to see officers like, hey, thanks for coming out, was like, hi, okay, cool, great, thank you.
That's so great. And can you share even more, like, how has, like, the food community and at the restaurant, how have you seen people support you guys?
Oh, my gosh. Well, for one thing, you know, yesterday was Blackout Tuesday. And, right. So, of course, we blacked out, and a lot of different businesses and industry professionals, mostly it was for music and entertainment, and it was just kind of to take... give people a blackout. There's nothing for you to look at other than these issues right in front of you,
right.
Basically was the concept of it. And during that time, people also took the time to promote black businesses and local black businesses. And so you guys had mentioned earlier seeing some stuff circulating about here are some black owned restaurants, which a lot of people I saw in the comments were like, wow, we didn't even know these were black owned. Right. So it makes me wonder how many other black business owners also say, you don't need to know that we black. You don't need to know, which which is sad. And it's just great, though, to have the platform. I would say for as much that it's sad and it makes me emotional, most of the emotion around this is very positive.
Yeah.
I feel so good to be able to speak openly and be heard and feel heard and feel supported. That is everything right now. And so, the response from the community has just been like, oh my God, I love that place or this place or you gotta go there. And just like seeing people rally around us and really drown out the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because I've been saying, you know, and I've been speaking a lot to a lot of people about in different lanes, and I keep saying, you know, just remember there's more good people than there are bad. Mm-hmm. There are more of us who are ready to see this change than there aren't. And maybe if we alienate them, then things will change.
Right.
You know, because there are really more people with good hearts and who want to support each
other. Sometimes people get a little louder on those, you know, the outskirts.
Yes.
And so I think that's where,
they're like, louder is really all it is. It's not that they're more in numbers.
Right.
So we just need to get louder about supporting each other and about this sense of community that's building.
Right.
You know, and supporting. I love our differences. I want to say that too while we're on the topic of, you know, race and whatnot. Like, I don't like when people say, we're one people and one color. We're not, though.
Right.
I love our differences.
Yeah.
I love our differences. Right. I am a foodie, and so I love to eat, you know, somebody's really well-dressed, you know, all kind of veggies, and then I really like some, like, fatty, seasoned food, you know? Like,
yes,
I like
amen
it all.
To all
I like
that.
To go, you know what I mean? I'll be over here with your little fancy handmade pastas. I'm gonna be over here with some greasy ribs and somebody's daddy's barbecue sauce, you know? Like, I like the spectrum. I love our differences across the board, you know?
Yes.
And I want us all to start appreciating that more. It's not about, you know, making this one thing. It's just about us all being, you know, open to supporting each other, appreciating the differences of each community and understanding that those differences are what make us great.
Absolutely.
And the value that they bring. You know, I mean, so you appreciate it, but also just the value to be able to bring all that different.
Yes.
Different type of thing.
And I love the value, like, that Take Three brings to the table, right? With their, like, I don't know if it's purposeful, but I love the messy burger. And, like, let's just get it all up in there. And, like, you got to use, like, your whole arm to, like, get that in your mouth. And, like,
it was like Yelp review after Yelp review. It's like these giant burgers of, like, people's faces. One guy's face was like, are you kidding me? This thing's huge.
And fries. Yeah. And so can you tell us a little bit about like how you came up with the concept and why downtown? Just share a little bit.
You know, a lot of that really I just attribute to my dad. Mm-hmm. I come from a family of very ambitious people, and my dad I don't even call him a businessman, I call him a hustler. He's always had so many hustles.
Yeah.
Yes. My whole life I have been watching that man just do everything.
Yes.
So that's why my rap sheet's so long. You know, I'm just followed in the footsteps. And so we were in burgers back in the late 80s, early 90s. We had Monster Burger in West Fresno.
Okay.
You know, so that was like a few years after I was born. My parents had that restaurant. And I've never really asked him why burgers, but right. that's just what he did. My dad's really good on the grill. He's Mr. Barbecue, kind of like me with cocktails. You know, it's just what you do with your friends and your family. And so I think he's just good at
just gifted at yeah. it. Yeah, you got that talent, yeah. that touch. You
so
know?
Did
yeah.
you grow up in the restaurant, like helping out?
I did. We were in the office just like my kids are in the office now. Right. But, playing with spatulas and, you know, yeah. getting on people's nerves. Yeah, it was basically the same childhood my kids have now. Back then, right. the restaurant ended up burning down in the early 90s, and we didn't recover.
Wow, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for years he didn't do it, and then I was in entertainment for a while and kind of doing my thing. And in music, and he was always wanting to get back kind of into the yeah. what do you think about a bar or a club or a mm-hmm. and I'd be like you know, because I know that business too, and I'm like
right.
So when he approached me, I had just had my son, and he said, I think I'm gonna open another restaurant, and we're looking at downtown. I'm looking at a building downtown. He knew the owner of the property that we lease now, and it's under new ownership now. But at the time, it was like a handshake deal with the guy.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was like, let's get in there. It had been empty, you mm-hmm. know, nothing had been. Fulton Street was a yeah. dead zone.
Right.
Fulton it's Mall changed a lot yes. was in 10 years. Dead.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
So
when was this, like 2014?
This would have been, so we opened in 2014. So this was in, it was about a year and a half of a process, like, from right. when we got the lease to, so yeah, like 2013, 2012, somewhere around
right.
there. And it was just a good time for me because I'm, like, just starting a family. And
yeah.
We came together. First thing that went up was the murals. And
love
so
that.
People would walk by the windows and be like, what's this going to be?
Yeah. You know? That created, I'm sure, some hype.
Absolutely.
And stuff. Yeah.
Art and aesthetic is everything to me. Even when it comes to the burgers, like you talk about the pictures, that's very important to me.
Yeah.
I'll stand at the line and go, that's a good looking burger. That's a good looking burger. like all day. Like yeah. they don't ever make a burger that doesn't look good. I'm like, that's a good looking burger. Yeah. Good job.
Well, you eat with so your eyes important. First.
Yes.
You
know, like, that is so important to me.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it's not, we eat crap. I eat crap. I still eat bad burgers sometimes.
Right.
Even having a burger restaurant.
Everybody's hungry. So.
Yeah. You just pull in somewhere and you get something. So for me, it's really important that we have a good looking, tasting, feeling, smelling yeah. product.
Yes, yes. Like, it's the whole picture.
Get all the yes. senses.
I love
yeah.
that. So how is it being a business owner with your dad? I mean, I'm sure that like, well, I'm in a family business.
Yeah.
And so I obviously am aware of the dynamics that brings
yes.
to the table, right? Like, And you're a strong personality. I
oh
can
my gosh.
Feel it, and I
yeah.
love it because I am also a strong personality. And so, like, how do you guys, like, kind of come together, and how do you deal with conflict?
Ooh. No one's ever asked me that before.
Ah!
You know what? I would say the same thing that's bad about family is the same thing that's good. You know, because you're family, God, you fight like no other.
Right.
But you also, like, love like no other.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, no matter how many times we have these, like, knockdown jackets,
yes.
like, it's just, we come back because it's family.
Right.
So, but yeah, there's...
You know there's love there.
Yeah.
Well, it's really true. You know what I mean? Like, you fight with someone that's not family, and it's like, well, they go their own
yeah.
way, and I go,
I'll never see you again.
Yeah,
right.
You know, like,
I'm not
gonna friendship's
never see
over
you
or whatever.
Yeah.
But family, you're like, oh, I gotta see you at Thanksgiving now.
Right,
you
yeah.
know,
like yeah. how long are you gonna really be mad? And that's my brother. He likes to play middleman between me and my dad, too. And he'll be like, how long are you gonna really... He loves to do that.
Yeah.
How long is this really... Like, shut up. It's lasting this time. I'm really mad. We have gotten into fights over chicken strips. Like, literally.
That is real life.
That is. That is very true. You know?
In the restaurant world, chicken strip is a very important thing.
We yeah. got into, like, a huge fight that led to me, like, leaving the restaurant for a couple months one time over, like, chicken pieces in a bag. And I was like, I want to do a pop-up with those chicken pieces. He's like, I want to do a wrap. And I'm like, no. I want to do this. I just yeah. leave me the chicken pieces. You know, it's not about chicken
right.
pieces. It's about,
right.
I think in yeah. family business, always about respect.
Yes.
And always when you're coming up behind you know, mm-hmm. the lead. You just want to know that yeah. that respect is there.
Right.
Like, do you see me back here doing yeah. all this? Like,
yeah, yeah, right. That's true. And recognition. And
yeah.
So do you guys, like, split up the work? Or does your dad run, like, back of the house, front of the house? Or do you run, or do you just kind of all just do everything?
Yeah, no, we have some pretty defined roles. He defines the roles.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yep. I would say mostly what I handle consistently is like anything aesthetic wise, our PR, our marketing, like our presence in the community is yeah. all me.
Okay, cool.
You know, driving like the marketing stuff, and he really handles a lot of like the food stuff and like the day to day running of the business, the staff. Like the staff knows I very rarely come in and have too much of anything to say. So if I do, it's like, oh crap. He does most of the like day-to-day operations type stuff, and I just do a lot of like
the promo
and like our specialty menus and when we do our themed stuff.
I love it, and I love your like Instagram, like all the delicious burgers, like makes me hungry just looking at it.
It's like 8 this morning, I was looking at it, and I can get a burger right now.
I know, I almost was like, hey, can I get in and cook something real quick before this?
I love it.
But why not? Why can't you have a breakfast burger?
Hey. Oh, we'll do press at 6 a.m., and the news outlets will be like, can we take this to go? Spicy chicken sandwich for breakfast.
There you go, yeah.
That's awesome.
Ready to go.
Well, cool. Well, yeah. I mean, in the craziness that's going on, you know, like, here we are on a 2-3 month transition.
Man.
Dealing with Corona, how have you guys as a business transitioned in this time and been able to kind of pivot
Stay
and get
in business.
Through
yeah.
Everything that's going on?
You know, we never closed, which I think was good. My dad was like, if we close those doors, we might not open them back up again.
Wow.
It's just such a crazy thing.
We've heard that. And we've heard that from a lot of business owners.
Wow, yes.
You know, and that you hear them, you see them, they've gone out of business.
Yeah.
You know, they just can't.
Yeah. And, you know, we were about a week in to all of this craziness. And, you know, I like to travel. And so when COVID was first starting, I booked a cheap ticket to Hawaii. I literally went on a Tuesday, I booked it. On a Friday, I left. And
wow.
So I felt like I took that trip. For me, it's like my release because I'm always on the go. So I need to like get away for my mind to work. So
yeah.
I feel like while I was away and I got that clarity, I was just like, all right, we're going to get back and we're going to hit the ground running, period.
Yes.
And that was with everything, you know, because I also have my bar catering that I do. And so I knew that was over. Events are not happening.
Right.
So I'm processing like, okay, there goes all of that work out the door. And now... what happens to a restaurant during a pandemic?
Right.
So I just felt like during that trip, I cleared my head and I was like, you know, all right, just get ready. It wasn't even so much that I had a plan. It was just like, be ready. So we got back and a girlfriend reached out to me and she said, I want to buy 20 burgers for people for free. I want you to give them away, you know, just, you know,
wow.
kind of a pay it forward gesture. And I was like, well, okay, I appreciate you. Because, I mean, $200 on a day, you know what I mean? Is
right.
That's a good order for a day with nobody coming in.
Right.
So I was just grateful for that. And, you know, I put it up on my personal social media, not even really on our... you know, on our business page and just said, like, I'm really grateful for this friend of mine. She's contributing these burgers. If any friends want to come in, please come in and get a burger. But everybody was like, no, leave it for somebody less fortunate. Like, who? She just gave me these burgers. I need to get rid of these burgers. Come get these burgers, you know?
Yes.
And I don't want to take somebody's money and not.
Yeah.
So we kept trying to give away the burgers. Nobody's really coming in.
Wow.
So then, but then this other friend of mine, who's actually in Oregon, he was like, here's $100. I want you to give you more burgers. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do now? We got 30 burgers to give away. And
right.
So we kind of reached out to the community, and I was like, well, does anybody want to nominate some families, you know, for us to do it? And so for the first few days, I was literally, like, driving all over town just
trying to figure out
giving away, dropping off burgers to people. I just trying to do something, you know. Yeah. And also, we're grateful. $300 isn't $1 million, but it's something coming in, and it was like we were just grateful. And so it was like me showing my gratitude, like, let me make sure I support some people with these meals. So then more and more and more donations started coming in, and I'm like, oh gosh. And these are just from regular people. My friends would text me and be like, I'm gonna Cash App you. Some guy would hit us in our inbox on Facebook and be like, we want to send some money. Someone would come into the restaurant and hand us $100 bill, and it was like, okay. And so I was like, determined, I have to keep up with all this money, and I have to make sure all these burgers go to people, because I don't want people to, you know, think that they're giving us anything and we're not. Like, that's very important to me. And so then that was where the idea to feed, you know, the front lines and essential workers too. I know a lot of people are feeding the front lines now, but it was important to me to also do essential workers. We were doing grocery stores.
I love that.
GW schools. We did some like private surgical centers, and because the front line, every day we need to be appreciating them. It's kind of like our teachers. I think we learned during this every day.
Right.
We need to be like, yo, y'all are the real MVPs.
Absolutely. All of us moms are like, please help us. Teachers, thank you.
Yeah.
Every day.
But I think like what has been less acknowledged is like, imagine working at a grocery store and now there's a pandemic.
Right.
You know, and I don't know how much people make that work at grocery stores, but now you are daily facing a risk towards your family for whatever your salary is, which is probably not enough for what you're doing.
Right.
The level of sanitation that has to be, you know what I mean? The bar is getting raised every day. There are changes every day. There are new standards and signs. And I'm just like, yo, I'm sorry y'all are going through this.
Yeah.
You know? And double the workload. I mean, we heard how busy the grocery stores, supermarkets were.
Right. Everyone just kind of got funneled.
Think about that. That's a lot of people who, you know what I mean?
And then there was like shortages and different things, and people were having to deal with angry
customers. The level of aggression and violence that was happening over toilet paper.
Right.
So I'm like, I kind of started thinking, I know how this is affecting me. Imagine how this is affecting that business and that business and that business. So we just started, I just started kind of dialing people up. You know, I started with my circle. Like, I frequent this store. Let me call their manager and say, hey, can we bring you guys some lunch? Mm-hmm. We have some sponsored meals. Can we bring you? And they'd be like, yes. And then it was just great to like pull up and see the excitement for burgers. Like, I'm always excited when you're excited about my food, period.
Absolutely.
But like, oh my God, during this was like, you know what I mean? You ain't seen a smile in a while.
Right.
So to see somebody like, thank you. It's like, it really, for me personally, it got me through COVID. Yeah. Like,
for sure.
Just us doing that. And we called it spreading burger joy. And
yes. I love that so much, that not only were you feeding the frontline workers, which are super and so important, but you recognize that this essential worker that, you know, is going to work every day trying to get food out to people, that those are people that are kind of like falling, you know, between the gaps, and showing love to the community in that way is, so genuine. I love it.
I really have asked myself, like, you know, while a lot of people are home and they're on unemployment, you know what I mean, doing nothing, which is still, everybody has their day-to-day struggles, but just, I just can't imagine being somebody who keeps going into work every day, like, what's your motivation? I love you. I just want those people to know I love them.
Yes.
And appreciate them so much. Like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I'm a business owner, so it's just a different situation. But to be an employee and to be so committed to your job, you're doing a community service.
Yes.
By continuing to get up every day. Because you could easily go, I'm going to just stay home and collect unemployment, or, you know what I mean? Or,
right.
So I really, really appreciate those people.
Yeah. So absolutely. So how have you then worked with your employees, right? Because they're having to come in during this like pandemic and COVID. And obviously in restaurants, you guys have super high standards with cleanliness and sanitation already. And I'm sure you all leveled up as well.
Mm-hmm.
But how did your employees take it? And did they kind of see the love of the community, you know, through this as
I
well?
I think they definitely did. You know, their tip jar has been a lot more full. I know they're not mad at it. A couple of days, I'd be like, quit complaining. Look at them tips.
Keep smiling.
We're like a family.
Mask, you know?
It's a small, we have literally literally only 3 employees at the restaurant. And so, and we cut hours very drastically when this all started, like pretty much in half, and we still haven't expanded back to our regular. I would say, okay, so there are some positives, I think. Yeah. One thing I personally loved, I shouldn't say it, loved, but I'm not mad that people can't use the bathroom.
Very true, as a restaurant owner.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not mad
the
at
craziest
that.
Things happen in your bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, are you kidding me?
I'm gonna be honest and be like, if we could implement this forever,
you wouldn't be hating on it, right?
That's the one upside for me is like, yo, and I think they appreciate that as well, not having to clean the bathroom behind people,
right?
You know, but just I think they have really managed to deal with like attitudes and irritations, and it's kind of like, you know, how much can one business do in 3 hours a day? Knowing that people are home, so they want food. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
There's been so many fluxes. And again, I was in that message I was trying to write this morning and figure out just the right words to say, like, please bear with us.
Yes.
I don't think people understand that a whole restaurant can run off 5 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a whole business that it's literally 5 of us. And think about it that way. Don't, you know what I mean? There aren't 700 employees here. There's 5 people.
So true. You see the weird influxes where, like, some days it's dead, and some days your Grubhub or your Uber Eats is going like off like crazy.
Yes.
And you're sitting there with 3 employees, like, how are we gonna get 15 burgers out in 5 minutes?
And we're also supposed to be mindful of how many people are in our dining room, how many people are waiting outside, we're calling orders, people are inside.
Sanitizing everything.
Oh my god. It's so many factors you can't possibly even think of, and there are changes every day.
There literally are.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's one thing. I just wish the community could be more mindful. I think mindfulness is everything in life in general.
True.
It's just like, consider everybody else. Consider what they might be dealing with.
True.
Even with my staff, when they get frustrated, I'm like, yo, chill. Don't ever be rude to our customers. But also, they're people.
Yeah.
They have bad days. Like, you know,
I'm gonna tell my staff all the time that, like, if someone comes in and starts unloading something on you, like, there's probably something that has happened before that. Like, they've come in mad, or something's going on in their life. You know, they just got in a car accident, you know, and they're coming here just to get a burger to feel better, you know, and they just unload on you. And just always reminding the staff of, like, hey, I know it's hard. I know there's a lot going on, but it's probably not you. There's something else going on. So just walk them through.
And now literally everyone is going through. Like, usually you'd have like a few people, you know, an angry customer or whatever, a day or a week.
Everybody's
now it's like everyone's like at a level of anxiety that's high. And like, I understand it from the customer's perspective sometimes too, because you're walking into and you don't know the rules at this specific restaurant or specific place you're going in, and so I'm already feeling like, what do? I don't know what to do. I'm just trying to get some food for lunch and get you know, and I want to obey all the rules, but I don't know them all. And so I mean, I can't imagine like the day-to-day, like face-to-face, like trying to educate the public on what, you know, the new regulations are, and then all the stress of people in general, like,
oh yeah people don't like that our dining room hasn't opened back up yet, but it's like, you don't know what it takes for that to happen. You don't even understand how much of a hassle that is to make that happen. And then the fact that we never closed, some people were closed preparing to open, whereas we have just been open, and so the transition from open, shut down, open to open, that's just a process, and it takes time, it takes resources, it takes money.
Yeah, it does.
You know, everybody didn't get funding, you know, everybody didn't get, we're still kind of waiting on a lot of stuff to see what's going to happen. And it's just, it's nice if the community can be considered, or businesses too, because we definitely, our customers always our top priority, but it's kind of like, you know, think of us too in this, it's hard.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what changes have you guys made at the restaurant, or have you had to make in adapting? And then I kind of want to know, like, I guess the question, I guess a lot of your customers are asking, like, are you guys having plans to open up the dining room again, or are you waiting till kind of different levels kind of happen in California? What's you guys' plan looking long term, which is this year, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think, So obviously the biggest changes that we made are just, you know, cleanliness is always a thing in the restaurant industry. Yes. You know what I mean? Your restaurant should have always been clean and yes, safe. And absolutely, we're always conscious of the health and safety of our customers. But definitely, like, more frequently with the deep cleaning and the taking things down and the mm-hmm. And so I think that it's that the mindfulness of health and safety that is gonna have us really slow moving into the next phases of yeah, things. Is just like, you know, personally I can't see sitting shoulder to shoulder with somebody at right, this stage of the game, even as an individual,
yeah,
let alone a business owner. So with that in mind, having a restaurant that seats like 30, you know what I mean? What are we looking at here? This right, isn't a huge space that we can put a table over there and a table over there. What does this right, look like? What is this new normal?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're really thinking on that right yeah, now. Like, what does it look like? How do we arrange our seating in such a small space? Or, like, because I had told my dad, well, what if we didn't have seating? And he's like, no, they're already mad that we don't. And I'm like, well, dang. You know, so you want to accommodate right, your customers, but you also want to make sure they're safe, because not everybody cares, too. Not everybody's right, on the same page about
no,
this.
No, oh, yeah.
There's some people that are like, give me my waffles.
So, yeah. Right. No.
Yeah. There's some people that are mad because you're taking all the precautions,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's like, why are you wearing a mask? And like yeah, questioning people. And then it's like a restaurant owner's just trying to open up. And yeah, and so it's like, well, these are the regulations we have to live by for the health inspector. So, you know, yeah, and they're thinking you're making a political statement. And it's like, yeah, no, dude, no, we're just trying to not, survive.
I just want to sell a burger.
Yes.
Good tasting burger.
You
want
to make sure that you're safe when you eat it, you right, know, that's absolutely, really all it is. It's just,
yeah.
So, we're going to take our time. I don't feel like pressure is going to.
Have you guys been able to kind of continue then, like with the business, like, stay like afloat?
Yes. Ish. You know, when you own a business, you are in it for the highs and the lows anyway. And highs and lows happen anyway. I think that what stinks about this for us is we were kind of hitting some lows anyway.
Okay.
And then a pandemic. Right. So, and that sucks for all the, any businesses probably that closed the doors were probably in the same situation. Yeah. You know, right, we were already struggling and now this,
mm-hmm,
you know, we kind of know how to keep it going. And my dad's a very smart businessman. And so we've gotten by. I wouldn't say we've done great. Well, you know?
And we kind of talked before, like we started the interview, like struggling with high food costs, right?
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, everyone's seeing it in the grocery store, but as a restaurant, you know, you're buying bigger, so you're getting a better deal. However, with things going up, like double, triple, quadruple what you were paying before,
yes,
how are these restaurants, you know, how are you as a restaurant like going to be able to, like, you want to be able to sell a burger, but that means you have to pay $5, $6, $7 a pound for yes, ground beef. And that seems like.
And that's what the customer does not know.
Right.
You know, that's what the behind the scenes stuff that is really difficult as a restaurant owner in general, but especially yeah, now. Our people are not coming in as much. There's this influx of business. It'll be very busy one day and then dead for several days. So, you know, dealing with those additional food costs. Also, just like not really knowing how much to stock, how much to prep, how much, like, so we don't know. Right. We literally don't know. There's also some solace kind of in that for me. I've been saying this whole time, like, at least we're all in it together.
You know? Right.
That's true.
You know, we really are all
it's bonded you guys offended, together. Yeah. And I'm sure as downtown businesses too, everyone's kind of, it feels like there's a community
yes,
like in downtown Fresno that is just supporting each other.
Mm-hmm. The and downtown community refreshing, was always strong, which yes, I love being a part of our downtown Fresno yeah, community anyway. But yeah, like, you know, I marched on Sunday with some downtown business owners. This experience, you can take it lots of ways, but I am choosing to take this as probably one of the most positive times in my life, and seeing mm-hmm, like genuinely seeing change happening right in front of me and with people that I care about by my side. Like, yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
How are you having that positive perspective? Because I know I dip into the,
yeah,
oh geez, like this feels like it's never going to end. And so how have you kept positive and kept that? Yeah, that outlook on
drinking.
Life. I'm just kidding. D's craft cocktail.
Yep, that's Laura's answer too.
gonna lie, drinking, but no.
I think that's
no judgment here. I have 4 kids, so
no. You know, I think like this is one thing I love to share that I've been sharing a lot with all of my, you know, my white friends and my allies and people that are not my non-black friends. Like, I think black people are really just joyful people in general. When you carry a burden all the time, you learn to live with it. You know what I mean? My legs are strong. Yeah. I got this. Yeah. Like,
I love that.
You know, so yeah. It's just kind of our, I think that's part of our community's way.
Yeah.
To just be like, oh, another struggle. I got it.
Yeah.
Like, so I always kind of, you know, I believe laugh to keep from crying. And it's just, to me, it's so much better. Mm-hmm. We could be angry and, but that's more of a burden to me.
Yeah.
I'd rather smile. Just would rather.
No, totally. Yeah. I was talking to my husband about that I think it was yesterday. Like, yeah, like we're talking, you know, all these things going on. And I was like, you know, honey, like, yes, obviously all of these things are going on. And, you know, we're trying to figure out how to do our kids' school next year. And so there's a lot of complex problems going on in our world. I'm like, I'm just going to focus on reading this book with my kid. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm just going to focus on the next thing and
yes.
the next joyful thing that kind of brings, like, happiness to me. And
I think that's what we should be doing. Yeah. I think that's how we should be living life anyway.
Absolutely. So
hopefully a lot of people come out of this, like, with a newfound, like, appreciation for the small things.
Yeah.
And understanding the value of family and, you know, I hope that
having that together time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely the positive Absolutely. Of all of this, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's great. Well,
I'm trying to track a thought with that, and I don't know how far into it I am, but you said something very interesting, like we're so used to carrying this burden, we've learned how. Our legs are strong. And I'm just looking at some of the coronavirus challenges we've had, and one of them has been mental health. You know,
yes.
like it, trying to deal with these burdens that are coming.
Yes.
And I'm looking at you saying that, like, we've been dealing with this and your ability to hopefully teach our community
wow.
how to be able to handle this and be able to go through, like, hey,
yes.
like we've been carrying some of
That's
these burdens.
Big.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I was doing an interview with somebody about... just kind of where we are in the protests mm-hmm. and the things that are going on. And I said, we have not been vulnerable as a people. Mm-hmm. We have not said these things out loud because I think the feeling before now is that it falls on deaf ears. And
yeah.
who wants to look weak or,
yeah.
you know, like you're complaining or you just want attention or you need this or that. And it's like, so I'd rather not.
Yeah.
You know, we're proud people mm-hmm. too. And so the mental health to me in the Black community has been something that I have really wanted to see us transcend, like different taboo, you know, within our own community, different taboos about that, and just to see us speaking up more. And mm-hmm. I definitely think that we would be a great people to talk to about that because, yeah, it's been a long road and with the history of our lives in this country and just
yeah.
the generationally how it's translated and how we've been raised. And yeah, there's a lot there
yeah.
to share, I think, and contribute to that conversation.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's really good. I'm excited to see that, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see that start to come out. And there's such power in stories. Like that's the one thing I
yes.
always keep hearing. And the thing we always try to land on is people's stories. And when people start to share their stories, it goes from this like, abstract to like, oh, this is a real, like, this is
yeah.
what you've gone through, you know,
like,
even you
oh.
sharing your story and your business and the things that you've gone through just to try to operate business, it's powerful. Our stories are incredibly powerful, and when we share them
mm-hmm.
people connect to them.
That's what
and,
unites
and,
us.
Yeah,
yeah,
and our
united.
Common struggles
and... yeah, and out of tragedy too, you've also found some success, like doing some of the biggie pop-up events. And so can you tell us a little bit about that? Because like
pop-ups?
Honestly
yeah.
like I had never heard of it. Obviously maybe I'm not the demographic, but I get it, it's cool. But I did grow up in the 90s and
we briefly heard it. I was like, I want to do that now.
That sounds
you
like
know,
a lot
so.
Of fun. So can you share with us a little bit about those and hopefully they happen again in the future?
Yeah,
and so,
oh yeah. my gosh, that is the saddest part for me, is like the events, not knowing when we'll be back to, you know, bringing
yeah.
people together for those
yes.
those themed events. We got started like maybe a year after we opened up, Sam Hansen, who's the director of marketing at the Grizzlies, reached out to me because he wanted to do, the first pop-up we ever did was the Biggie breakfast, the T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape juice breakfast. Yeah, it's just a line from like a Biggie song. And he was like, yeah, let's just host this breakfast, have people come out, we'll give them a t-shirt, have a DJ. And I'm like, for sure. You know, my roots in the art community here in Fresno are deep, and I have a musical background. That's why the murals were the first thing that went up. My dad was like, let's put some posters. I'm like, absolutely not. Yeah. We're putting some art.
Yeah. Like, love that.
You know, so like our ties are there and they're strong. And for me, it's really important for me to be able to express both.
Yes.
To be able to express the artistic side of me. And we do it with food. We do it with alcohol. And so, you know, he approached and said, do you want to do this pop-up? And I'm like, heck yeah. And so it's just kind of snowballed. And we, the following year, we did one for Tupac. It was the 20-year anniversary of his death. And because of that, you know, 20 years, I think we caught some attention with national news, and then it just spread like wildfire.
Oh, love that.
I think it was, you know, just lightning in a bottle. It just was the right time to do the right thing. And people were like, why is this happening in Fresno? And we like, because you didn't do it. You know?
Right.
And we did. It was huge. Yeah. Some people were like, I saw Kylie Jenner out there. I don't know if Kylie Jenner was there, but it was crazy. Yeah. The mall had actually just started to get closed down for construction. So there were fences up. In the middle, there were already like trees being taken down and all. So we literally just went out, and also didn't require us a permit because the mall was, you know, was still technically closed. And there was thousands of people out there. There was a line from our front door to the Crest Theater for the food. We ran at the end. We were just like, what we got in the freezer? Onion rings? Onion ring sandwich. We sold out of every morsel of food in the restaurant.
I love that.
So I think we've made a name for ourselves in, and we work with local artists to commission art every time. Cool. We work with local musicians to put together performances every time. So it's just a way to connect food and art. And
I love that, how you're like promoting local, and then you can see, I feel like you can feel that in events when when like the event people just love local and just want to like showcase like the local talent. I just love that so much.
It's really like important us to put it together too, because I think growing up in Fresno, you know, I'm from here. I don't know if you guys are from here.
No, yeah. Not originally, but yeah.
But so being from here, there's always been this kind of like, when I'm going to leave, or I'm, you know, there's nothing to do here. There's nothing fun about Fresno. And I'm like, that is an absolute lie.
Right.
There is lots of fun stuff to do in Fresno. There are lots of talented people in Fresno. We have some amazing artists. So. Yes. To be able to create a platform where we do make national news, and that's some Fresno artists art popping up on those news posts. That's a Fresno girl's burger popping up on these news posts. You know what I mean? It's just, I love being able to showcase. We have tons of talent here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my God, and our food. Come on.
Going anywhere else in the country, I'm like, okay, I, you know, try to find food, and I'm like, Mexican, no, not here, you
know? Definitely not Mexican food anywhere else. Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Bar none, our Mexican food?
Yes.
Come on.
I mean.
You're not messing with it.
I agree.
Well, I had a friend that came from L.A., and that was the first thing he said. He's like, the food is so good here, you know, and he came from L.A., you know, and before that, Chicago. So definitely, like, there's some really good things going on in Fresno.
Go hand in hand. I love it. Well, to wrap up, usually we ask a question. And Kit, you want to take it?
Yeah, let's rock and roll. So we like to ask an honest question. What is something unique about you that most people don't know? And this one's tricky because you've already told us a lot.
I know. Things. I feel like I'm like, open book. I'm actually really quiet. That is something people don't believe about me, though. I'm very shy.
Really? That would be shocking to me. Really?
I am genuinely a very shy person. And, you know, my kids are, like, super awkward now. And I'm, like, remembering me as a kid. Like, I was a mad awkward kid. And just, it took years to grow into this. It wasn't all this, you know, always.
Yeah. I mean, I feel with age, like, you could just get more confident and better, and so.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's just an age thing. Yeah. But
you grew out of the awkward.
You kind of. Yeah. It's still definitely right. Still, I think it's just you stop caring. Yeah. You're just like, I'm still awkward, but y'all gonna take it or you're not.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. No, totally.
Yeah, we're all in process, you know, and we're on this journey and we never quite arrive, but we're never quite far off. You know?
And everyone has their unique things, and I love that. And that's like the diversity of like our community and of Fresno and how like we get to hear more about that and like lift it up. Like that's what we want to, like that's kind of why the unique question is there. Like what's unique about yourself, you know, that you're bringing to the table in the Central Valley, and how you're bringing that into business. So I love that.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I thank you for joining us. I mean, I think we hit everything.
Yeah,
you know,
this is one of the best interviews I've ever
done. I literally could have kept talking like all day. We would have just needed to call in some burgers.
So, yeah. I got you. I got you.
So try Take 3. They're obviously on social media. They're doing
check out
amazing
their website,
business. Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook.
Everything is Take 3 Burgers, basically. TakeTheeBurgers.com, at Take 3 Burgers. On all social media platforms.
And what are your hours right now?
Right now our hours are 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
Monday through
so
Friday.
So just lunch. So grab lunch Monday through Friday.
Grab lunch.
Okay.
Yeah, and
grab
lunch
Monday
you
through
can
Friday.
Grab dinner, hopefully.
Yay. Oh my goodness. I cannot wait. And now I'm like super hungry. So it is coming up on lunchtime. But Des, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Fresh local on the podcast.